I imagine that most of you, when you were children and students, didn't enjoy tests all that much. All that work and preparation, and then the stress of the moment, and the uncertainty about whether you were getting it right or wrong, and then the waiting until you found out whether you got it right or wrong, and how much right and how much wrong. We had a lot of tests during our childhood and as students, as we were older, and that testing hasn't ended. Although we might not be sitting down for exams, I'm sure you can think of other ways you have felt tested in your life, in the choices that you make, in the experiences that you encounter, in what you do. Again and again, we are tested. Now, you might not like tests. You might possibly, depending on your personality, enjoy quizzes. You know, the kind of quizzes that you get in magazines or online where you find out what Harry Potter character you are, or what your color is and what that represents about your personality, or something else about your relationships or your being. Those kinds of fun, possibly meaningless quizzes that help us reflect on who we are. That's kind of the safe way of testing, right? Either way, whether it's a test or a quiz, it offers insight. But perhaps greater insight when we are tested, when we are pushed and challenged by what's happening, that's the space where we might grow. Now, I was thinking about our scripture reading today as we hear about Jesus being tested. Often we call it temptation, right? But that's just a kind of testing. Temptation is a way of seeing who you are, what you're capable of, where your weaknesses are, a way of learning about yourself, pushing yourself, challenging yourself to the best that you can be. And I was thinking about this story about how temptation happens right at the beginning. I mean, it's not right at the beginning of the gospel according to Matthew, because Matthew spends time talking about Jesus being born. But it's the beginning of his ministry. And this isn't some great insight, but it's just, this is what happens first. He's baptized, and then he spends time in the wilderness being tested. Now, it's perhaps not that uncommon for that time of testing, that time of temptation, that time of figuring things out to happen first. At the start of a new situation, and I'm sure you can think of your new situations where that's been the case, whether it's a new relationship or a new job or a new status in life, whether it's retirement or having a child or having a grandchild or facing unemployment or... there was something else I was going to say, but you get the idea. All of these new times are the times when we're most actively tested, whether it's a change that we might consider positive, joyful, like a child or a grandchild or a new job or a new relationship, or whether it's a change that we might consider negative or difficult or hard, whether it's the loss of a job, or the loss of a person, or the loss of our health, the loss of a relationship. Whether we consider it joyful and positive or challenging and hard, either way, we are tested. Tested when new things happen. And I was thinking about this particularly for us right now in this space as a congregation of new things happening. And we might consider it joyful and wonderful and positive that we are coming together with Prestine Woodbine. But we know in that process, there'll be the places where we are tested, where we are challenged, where we are pushed by something to realize who we really are and what we're capable of being. And an example of that might be name tags. For those of you who aren't name tag people, or for those of you who aren't yet on our name tag list, even though you should be, being challenged, being tested by this new thing, even if it's not what we most want for ourselves, because a new situation demands something new. Putting ourselves into the situations that might make us a little uncomfortable. Changing the way we do certain things so that we can be more welcoming or more understanding. Or perhaps just a little different, because that's what happens when things are new. We are tested. Now, in our gospel story, the story that speaks to that truth that whenever something new happens, we are challenged and tested. And because the story is about Jesus, we hear that truth that God is in that testing too. That God, that love, that the divine, that which we follow is also tested, is also present in the challenge. We are not alone in this. And we hear about those temptations. We'll use the word temptation now. Those temptations of turning stone into bread, right? Using the power that we have for our own gain, for our own benefit. Or throwing himself off the temple to sort of test God, right? He said, "You love me, so show it." Or worshiping someone else, something else, rather than the sacred, because that will get us further. That will lead to greater power in this world. Right? Those were the temptations that he faced. And I was thinking, what are the temptations that we face here and now? I doubt that any of us are going to be tempted to try to turn stone into bread or jump off the top of the church. And I doubt that any of us are likely to have the kind of power that our story says was offered to Jesus. You never know. Sometimes these things happen unexpectedly, perhaps for everyone involved. But generally, those temptations aren't the ones that we face. What are the temptations? What are the places that we are tested in our society today? That's what I've been thinking about this week. And I came up with a list. And I'm sure there are more. I won't even read all of the list. But let's try a couple. I think in our world today, we are tempted by convenience, by something being easier than something else, whether it's something that we do or something that we don't do. We are tempted to take the easier option, even though the consequences might not be as good for us or for others or for the world. I think in our society today, we are tempted by complacency, by saying, things are pretty good, let's just keep them the way they are. And alongside that, with comparison, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't be like that. We're not that. Or those people. So why challenge ourselves to do more or to be more? I think in our society today, we might be tempted by certainty. By that idea that we have to hold on to what we know and what we do or what we feel as the right answer because anything else will put us at threat. And when so much is happening that make us feel threatened, make us feel unsafe, we need to cling to what we know and be certain of it. Whatever that might be. I think in our society we might be tempted by two emotions, by fear and by happiness. All right, the temptation of fear, that temptation to allow fear to control what we say and what we do or what we don't say or what we don't do because we're threatened, because things could get worse, because if we say what is true or what we believe or who we are, we might create rifts. We might add to escalating tension or fear leading us to act out, to lash out at others. To try to protect what we have and who we are. You might have heard about the protests yesterday, both for and against Bill M103, which is a private member's bill that's basically, my understanding is, about anti-Islamophobia, condemning as a country Islamophobia and calling the government to take action to quell this kind of fear and anger. And so there were protests in Toronto and in Calgary and in Montreal and Sherbrooke and Quebec with people both for and against this bill. And yesterday you might have heard about the protests in the States, the pro-Trump and the anti-Trump rallies happening across the country, as they have been so many times, and the violence on both sides that took place as a result. That acting out of fear, right? Fear either way. But it's not just at protests that this impacts our actions or our inactions. And last, the temptation to happiness. The idea that our own happiness is what is most important. That our own happiness should somehow be set above the good of others, the time that we give, that should be what determines what we spend our time and our money and our energy on, because we know that we should be happy and we should devote our energy to this. And I say this not because I think we should all be miserable, but because that work to happiness, that striving for happiness, often doesn't actually mean that we're happy. And often gets in the way of our thinking about others. What if rather than working for our own happiness, we were to work for the happiness of others? Where would that lead? So those are just some possible temptations that we face in our deserts. And some of those might be the temptations that we face as a congregation, as Preston Woodbine joins us. Some of them might be ones that we face as individuals. Some of them might be ones that we face as a society. Now, in the gospel story that we heard, Jesus doesn't give in to the temptations. He resists them. And if we set aside the notion that this is just because Jesus is inherently perfect, because if that was the case, why would it matter? Why bother telling the story? And if that was the case, then God's presence, love's presence with us in our times of temptation wouldn't have that meaning, wouldn't have that significance. If we set aside the notion that Jesus is inherently perfect, then how was he able to resist the temptation that he faced? It might be because that temptation came just after the baptism. You remember that baptism? These are the words our story tells us he hears. "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Right? Those words of God's love. God's pleasure, God's delight in him could offer that strength to weather the challenges. And those words are ones that are said to all of us as human beings right at the start of Scripture. In that first story of creation, God sees the creation of human beings, men and women, all made in the image of God, and says, "It is very good." That love, that affirmation is our starting point. That love, that acceptance, just for being who we are, is our starting point in what we do, our source of strength in what we face. God is with us. We are not alone in these new times. Amen.